Go loud.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in the ground. Till your body okay. Walk it hard and slow. When you feel it done.
The Hypnota.
So you just bought a new gaff and your ma's hand-me-down couches and cutting it?
Sorted with Roystal Hill Furniture. They're an Irish family-run store that actually knows what looks good in 2025, not 1995.
They've got a full house of packages starting at just €3,649. That's an electric 3+2 sofa, dining set with 6 chairs and 2 Ottoman bed frames with mattresses. Madness.
I got me corner sofa from Roystyle, and you know why you wouldn't just sit anywhere?
They're at Fonthill, Belgard and now Omni Park too. Open late Thursdays and Fridays till 8 in Fonthill and Omni.
Sofas, beds, tables, it's a one-stop shop for sorting your whole home.
Right price, right style, right now. Visit www.roystyle.ie and use promo GET10 for 10% off.
Go down.
Episode 224 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, COB.
It's me, Terry Flower.
Today we're joined by
Una Ennis.
Una, thanks for coming in. So, for people who are unaware of who Una is, or you haven't been on social media in the last few months, Una is here to talk about a condition that her son has and the treatment that she's trying to get, the funds are trying to raise to get there, and basically the path forward for her and her family. Una, do you want to say the condition,
yeah,
or else you have
yeah.
trouble with it.
Archie has Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is a progressive muscular wasting condition. So Archie's muscles will become weaker over time. When the doctor first diagnosed Archie, she obviously explained Duchenne and, you know, what Archie kind of has, because I have never heard of this before, nor has my family. Basically, it's a genetic condition, or it can be spontaneous. So there's 1 in 3 people that can be spontaneous with having the condition. So myself, I'm spontaneous. So, you know, this could happen to anybody. You know, when she told us that he has Duchenne and that, you know, his muscles are going to become weaker, which we can see him struggling to get up the stairs and, you know, just kind of struggling walking long distances. She then said that his muscles will begin to get weaker from his arms, which over time he will find it hard to kind of pull himself up or to, you know, feed himself. And then she said that her little boy could be in a wheelchair by the age of 10. And, you know, her perfect little boy that, you know, was just a normal little boy, for to hear those words is just, it's just like a nightmare. You know, it's every parent's worst nightmare. She went then to say that Archie's lungs will become weaker and he will need a breathing machine, and that his heart will become weaker as well, and that he will have an early life expectancy. You know, hearing those words, it's like we're living somebody else's life. And since we have got the diagnosis, our whole world has just turned upside down. You know, we're just researching every corner that we can to try and get Archie some help, and we're fundraising for the gene therapy now, and, you know, we're just doing everything that we really can to help our little boy, because, you know, we never in a million years thought that this was going to happen to us.
Una, do you want to give us an insight to what Archie is like from a baby up until you start noticing the signs of the condition?
So, you know, Archie was our first little boy, and you know, as your first child, you just spoil them rotten, and you just kind of think, ah, no, he'll come on in his own time. And it kind of started with school when he was in Nenra. Preschool, you know, she was saying that he was kind of struggling with speech and language, and, you know, he couldn't really catch up with the kids. So from there, we got the speech and language, and then he was suffering kind of handwriting. Then we got him the handwriting classes, and then he always kind of struggled to jump. So he was coming on and all the other things. So we were like, oh, he's coming on. But then the physical side of things, so we start getting him physiotherapy, and, you know, she was giving us exercises to do at home. And there was one day in the house where, you know, he was really struggling to get up the stairs, and we just had our 6 sessions. So we're like, what is going on here? Like, something's not right. And it's almost like you'd get kind of frustrated thinking like, there's just something not right here. And Archie's 7 now. So we're like, what is it that he's not? There's something missing. And the physio, I rang her and I said, look, he's actually getting worse instead of better. And she said, come in. And she said, I think we should go to the doctor. It could be dyspraxia, she said, I'm not too sure. And we went into the doctor then. And, you know, she had a look at Archie and she had him take off his clothes and dress himself. And then, you know, she had him walk up the corridor just to see how she was walking. And, you know, you're in that room and it's like the walls are closing in on you because she can see something that I don't know what's going on with me little boy. And I said to her, you know, the physio thinks it's dyspraxia. And she said, no. I said, do you think it's something worse? And she said, yeah. So we had to wait 4 weeks for the genetic test to come back. And she said, you know, bring your husband in or, you know, just don't come on your own. And we went in then and she told us what was about to unfold for Archie. And I just can't accept it, you know. I just want to save my little boy. So we're just trying our best to fundraise to get the gene therapy. And, you know, Archie, he's just amazing. Like, it doesn't seem to faze him whatsoever. Like, he is just living the dream. He's like, you know, comes home from school and goes out with his friends and his friends are waiting at the door for him, or, you know, like, people kind of recognise him now from the events and stuff like that. And we were out having dinner the other day and there's a few girls in the pub and they're like, oh my God, there's Archie. And he was like scarily, he was waving at them and all, like, but he's just, you know, he's the best in the world and he really doesn't deserve all of this. Like, he just doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, you never think something like this is going to happen to you, and for it to happen to my little boy, and he's so kind and he's so caring, and, you know, we'd do anything for anybody. Mm. You know, he's so, even like if there's kids in his class or anything like that, he'd always play with, he'd never let anybody feel left out, or, you know, he's just the best in the world. He really is.
So you said that the doctor was giving you the diagnosis, told you not to come alone. So obviously, you know, it's going to be bad if that's the case. What is the next day like? So I'd imagine that day is probably the worst days of life, getting that news. What's the day after that like?
It's almost like, I don't know if you've lost somebody, but it's like you're grieving for your little boy's life that you thought he would have. Horrific. Absolutely horrific. Those first 2 weeks were awful. You know, my husband, he's just an old school man, and I never seen him cry like I seen him cry. And it's just your worst nightmare. It's every parent's worst nightmare to think something like this would happen to your little boy. And, you know, we felt so alone at the very start because they say it's a rare condition. And like that, the 2 weeks, we didn't tell anybody. We didn't put it out onto Instagram until Stevens's day. And those 2 weeks, you know, our family were up, and it's just like you lost somebody, even though you didn't. And then we didn't want to scare Archie. So, you know, he was going to school. It was 2 weeks before Christmas and we still had to get everything in for the kids. And I remember me and Kenneth going to the square to get the rest of our stuff. And just the two of us are just in a shop, like, just standing there. And I just wanted the ground to swallow me up. And I went home and just got into his bed and cried. But he was in school and he was happy. And, you know, we put a brave face on for the kids while they were here. And then when they went to bed, then you're just, you know, you're just scouring the internet to look for help, to see if there's other families out there. And thank God I did. I found other families up the north. And since posting the story, you know, a lot more people have got in touch with me, and mammies have been ringing me. And I found, for me and Kenneth, that's the greatest support, is the other parents, because, you know, they've been here. They know how hard it is, how raw it is, how real it is to get this diagnosis, you know. So the other families have really helped us and just kind of told us, you know, have a bit of hope. You don't know, you know, the doctors are telling you this, but like, your little boy is still very young. There's medicines coming out. And I think that's what kind of helps us as well, to know that there's new medicines evolving. Like, years ago, 20 years ago, there was absolutely nothing. There was not one thing for Duchenne. So now, and I think for me to get through these days, I do, like, right, you know, there's something there. We just have to try and get it.
Mm. It's the hope.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the clip that you posted on Instagram. I think it was, like, at the very start. I think it might have been the first clip that you posted when you were explaining the disease. A condition or disease?
Condition, both. I struggle saying disease. It is a disease.
Yeah.
But for me, to say disease, it's just hard. Yeah, so it's either or. Whatever.
Sorry,
whatever. It's the same thing, really.
Yeah, no, but I seen you explaining the condition and obviously what it's like for you then as well. But you're really trying to raise funds. Yeah. What was it like for you? Were you big into Instagram or that like that? No, did you ever make a video before ever?
Like, not like that. Yeah. I probably like TikTok with the kids or something like that. But even the Instagram just kind of blew up overnight as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'd never, but I knew, I remember sitting in that car and just feeling like I wanted to scream to somebody to help me. And, you know, we just needed help. And I thought, you know, the doctor said, you know, you'd have to crowdfund and it'd be very hard. But, you know, the power of social media is just amazing. Like,
it really, that video really blew up. And I think it was a big help to the start of this journey that you're on now, to raising the funds.
Yeah.
There's so many people. And I want to give a shout out as well. Get Better with Chris. Like,
amazing. Yeah. And he's been so, so good to us. Like, he's really kind of guiding me as well in the kind of social media thing. Because I don't, never really done it as much before. Like, he kind of guides me with that and helps me with that. And Paul Merriman as well, he came on board to kind of help us with the phones. And like, we had a big event there, Hell and Back. But they've been amazing. Like, they've really, really helped.
Yeah, what was, obviously you post that video and it just went viral everywhere and everybody was trying to support and help out however they can. What has their response been like to raising the funds? How much have you raised so far? How much do you need to raise? And
so the response has been amazing. Our community in Tala have really rallied around us. We are almost at €1 million in the space of 6 months. So that's like amazing, you know, for 6 months. And people that, you know, Paul and Chris and Dave Hall that's been helping us said, like, it's unheard of to get a GoFundMe to kind of like move that fast. But I think it's just Archie's story is so relatable to everybody. You know, if you have a young child, you know, I certainly didn't think it was going to happen to me, but it can. These things can happen. And unfortunately, it just happened to Archie. And I think everybody just wants the support because, you know, they're thinking, oh my God, that could be us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how much do you need to raise?
We need to raise €3.5 million. So the gene therapy is 3.2, and then the hospital, they want 200,000 because Archie will go over there for 12 weeks. And in order for them to monitor him, to check his heart, to check his lungs, to do his blood pressure every single day, that's what that'll cost. And then to live over there for 12 weeks, yeah.
How did you find out about the gene treatment?
So when we were in the doctor's that day, she had said that, you know, because I had said, like, what do we do? She says, well, you know, there's not much to, there's no really medicines as such in Ireland now. She said there is a gene therapy that had just passed in LA. And she said, it's millions, Una, she said. And I just said, like, how can it be millions? How can you put that price on a little boy's life? Like, 3 million. Where are they getting these numbers from? And she says, like, when you do think about it, the research that goes into it, and it's been years and years, and it is a rare condition. So everybody's putting this, like, everything into this rare condition because nobody has this medicine, you know? So, yeah. Just a little more.
So you found out about the gene therapy, and I remember when I first seen your video, and usually, without being disrespectful, there's thousands of GoFundMes for people to get treatment, and you'd see the price on it, and you see people hitting the goals, but when you said it was in the millions, I remember looking at that and thinking to myself, who come up with the number? Yeah. Now, I got it, like, research is expensive, but it's an industry.
It's a child, like, I think when you look at kids, like, it just shouldn't be, like, that's, we feel like, and at the very start as well, like, this is impossible. You know, we're jumping through hoops to get whatever we can to help Archie. And even at the start, like, it did shoot up, but we're like, are we going to get there? Do you know? And then since meeting Paul and David, they said, look, you just have to knuckle down for 3 years and you might just get it. You know, but even at that, like, it's just, it's so hard. Like, you know, we just live a normal life, go to work, come home to the kids, bring the kids on holidays, and to our whole world just be flipped upside down, it's just mad, you know. Sometimes I'm like talking about somebody else's life. I don't feel like it's my life, do you know?
And see, when you found out about the treatment, yeah, do you know of anybody that's been there? Do you know of any of the results?
Yeah, so, you know, we researched everything and we found another mammy that lived in Ireland that her husband moved to America, and that little boy got the treatment because her husband got a job over there with the insurance. Now, we looked into that as well and we couldn't, like, I don't know if he was, like, living there on and off for years and that's how they got in that way, but we couldn't get it. We got in touch with all the insurance companies and tried, and but they just, no.
And what results did that family have? Was it
so their little boy is really young now. I think he's only 6 now, and he's getting the gene therapy. He's doing well, and he is he's also getting Juvenista over there. He's getting everything over there. It's just in Ireland. I think the culture in Ireland with medicines and in the clinical setting is just, I don't know, it's just very strict. I just don't know why they don't have it here. I just don't see why they have it in the UK, why they have it in America. We just don't have it here.
And has that young boy made progress?
He's made progress, yeah. Now, not massive progress. Like, the gene therapy is going to help, but it's not going to cure Archie.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to slow everything down. It's going to give him a better quality of life, or, you know, like, it's going to keep him on his feet for longer.
Right.
But I want to be able to say, like, for us to get a diagnosis with Duchenne with no medicine is so hard to take. Well, I want to tell Archie when he's at 16 and he's asking about Duchenne that, look, you got a medicine. You have a bit of hope. You know, who knows what tomorrow is going to bring, and to just to give him some hope, because, you know, that's all we can do, really, is just try.
Mm.
See, when you say, like you said there a minute ago, about, like, 3 million on a little boy's life, like 3.5 million is what you need to raise.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's frightening. Like,
yeah.
Like, when you hear that number, do you think, that's impossible, but I'm going to give it a bash? Or
when I heard that number and putting out that video that day, I felt helpless, and I felt like I know that I'm putting this out there, and I don't know what's going to come of this. I don't know if I'm going to get there. And even in that video, I think I said, look, I know it's a lot, but all I have to do is try. I just have to try but yeah, I was thinking the same. I was like, there's probably no way that we're going to get this, but all I can do is try.
Nearly 1 million in 6 months, though, you said it.
Yeah, yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, there's still a long way to go on the fundraising.
Still another 2.5, yeah.
I don't even know what to say here in terms of, like, what you've done with social media and people rallying behind you and getting that to 1 million in 6 months. All you can really do at this point is just keep trying to promote her, isn't it? Keep trying to get that out there. Keep trying to make people understand what's going on here and how it's 3.5 million.
Yeah, and just even to show Archie's daily life, like, although he is a great little character and stuff like that, he does struggle. Like, even today before I left the house, he's playing with the toys on the ground and he's trying to stand up, and I just, you know, he's walking up his legs to push himself up. Like, he's struggling to stand up now. And even to see that, it just breaks my heart. It's like, it scares the life and soul out of me, and it scares the life and soul out of my husband to think what the future will be. You know, when you see those little signs, it's like, oh, is this happening now? But yeah, I do try and share stuff like that too, like how his little life is. Like, although he's like a lad's lad and he loves playing out with the boys, and he's struggling, like, to stand and to go up the stairs and to even just to get into the house today. We're clearing out the garden and I took the plant pots away. We had tall plant pots and I took them away because they're going to clean. And he would normally grab onto the plant pot to lift himself in. But I just took them away, like, cleaning around and stuff like that. And so I went in first and I looked behind me and he was, like, struggling to get up the step. Like, the step is, it's not a big step, do you know that way? Well, it's the little things like that where I'm like, oh my God, do you know?
Have you seen, since the diagnosis, have you seen, like, kind of rapid deterioration now? Is it like it's coming along a lot quicker now that you're aware of it?
I think when we look back on videos, I would see Archie a lot weaker. But now he's on steroids and I feel like he has the energy, so he's really trying.
Yeah.
So I think the steroids is kind of keeping him at bay a little bit now. But yeah, like, if he didn't have the steroids and the doctor said, you know, that'll only keep him like this for a while. You know, with steroids, like, the body just gets used to it.
Yeah.
And then things can take over again and you can get weaker again. But that's why I'm, you know, time is of the essence. And every day that Archie doesn't have medicine, his muscles are dying. And, you know, time is muscle for Archie and all boys with Duchenne. You know, And this is why I've been to see the government and to try and get them to get a medicine into Ireland as quick as possible, because I don't know how long the fundraising is going to take. So Givinista has given us a glimmer of hope. It's also a medicine that will slow down the progression of Archie's condition. And, you know, I just want to get that. You know, I just want that load to come off my shoulders to be able to say, you know, he's getting it. And there's a young boy in Ireland. He's the only boy in Ireland that is on Givinista, because he got the trial in Newcastle 5 years ago, and he's walking and he's driving and he's 21.
Right. So, that's positive science there. You were saying, though, although Archie's condition is very rare, there's over 100.
110 boys in Ireland.
Is it only for boys, or can girls get it?
So it's like 1 in 5 million girls will get it.
But it's more common in boys?
It's more common in boys, yeah. Mostly young boys would have Duchenne. And even if a girl did have it, like, her symptoms wouldn't be as strong as what the boys would be. So it's mostly young boys, yeah. It basically happens in the early stages of development, like in the embryos.
Yeah.
You know, with the cells and stuff like that.
Does Archie understand what's happening?
So he understands that his muscles are tired and that he can't get up the stairs as well as the other boys. Or he said to me, "Mommy, why can't I run as fast as the other boys?" And I said, "Well, you know, that's because your muscles are just a little bit tired." And I said, "You know, everybody's different. Look, Daddy can run faster than me, and, you know, it's good to be different." But he does understand, like, that his muscles are different and that he can't run as fast and that, you know, he falls a lot. But like that, he seems to just get up and get on with it, really. I seem to think that he does. But then, like, we do bring him to play therapy as well, just so he's not mired in his head, because he could be, I don't know, like, putting a brave face on for me, and I wouldn't want him to be thinking all the time, you know, what's going on in my body here. But yeah, he does. He understands a little bit, which is hard for me because, you know, growing up, I've had a normal childhood, and other mammies would say, but like, they're so used to their body being, like, Archie's just adapting, which is great. So it doesn't seem to faze him. Yeah. I think because he's still so young and I just want to keep him not fazed by it. Like, if I get medicine for him, I want him to be okay. I don't want him to get this diagnosis and be like, oh my God, you know, I could die when I'm 20, or I just don't want that for him.
With the other families, I'd imagine you've had contact from a lot of them. But something that you said before we come on is that you have an option, you have hope. Now,
yeah,
it might be hard to attain that. But you were saying 20 years ago, they were just told.
Yeah, 20 years ago, they were told that, you know, a wheelchair and steroids, basically. And even the steroids are more up to scratch today. Like, steroids years ago, they would put an awful lot of weight on the children, and, you know, that would make them go into the chair faster. Whereas the steroids now, there's less side effects, because that's all we have now is to give them steroids, which is absolutely crazy to think that, you know, even today, like, even with us getting our diagnosis, that's all she had for us was a steroid and a wheelchair. And it's just like, it's in 2025, it's just not acceptable. You know, kids in Ireland, if they have cancer, they get chemo. If they have Duchenne, they're given a steroid and a wheelchair, and it's just not acceptable.
Considering that in other countries, there's...
In the UK, up the north, they have Givinista, and we don't have it here.
So I'll be very naive with all this. Can you not just go up to the north and get that?
No, I've tried that. So you have to have an address up there, and you have to have, like, a PPS number to say that you were born there.
So you get it directly from the NHS then?
Yeah.
You can't buy a private.
No, and it's very strict. It's like, we've looked into that as well.
Talking B**ks is coming to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre on July the 11th.
For our biggest show ever.
On July 11th, we're putting on a show with big name guests, live music and a lot more chaos and crack.
This is the biggest show that we've ever done.
A massive stage, a room full of fancy seats, maybe even the fella in the suit telling people to turn their phones off.
The two lads in the big theatre.
It's going to be an unforgettable night of laughs and music.
Tickets are flying now, so get yours quick before they're gone. Go to Ticketmaster now to secure your seat.
It's Talking B**ks live at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre on July the 11th. Big theatre, big laugh, big loads of B**ks.
Have you met with the government here?
I've met with the government here. Well, I'm meeting with the Minister for Health, I hope, in the next couple of weeks. But we've met with TDs and stuff like that, and they've really come on board and said that, you know, we really want to push for this. We know that time is of the essence, and that we need a meeting with the minister. I was speaking to the minister over the phone, and she said, you know, we're waiting for the EMA to put the application into the government. And once they put that application into the government, it's up to the HSE, NCPE in the HSE to basically sign off on whatever that pharmaceutical company's prices. But before, and any medication that has come in, sometimes the NCPE can take their time on signing off on a medication that is 38,000 a bottle per month for one buy. So it'll be €500,000 a year for one buy, which it's not really that much when you take into consideration of the care needs that Archie and all the other boys will need in the years to come. Give them the medicine and let's prolong this and not have to get a hoist, a wheelchair accessible house, all that kind of stuff. Just give them the medicine and let them have a good chance at life.
And as time goes on, the price will come down.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of business. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are waiting on the application to go into the government now. And then once that the government have it, the Minister for Health said she's keeping a close eye on it and she will put the pressure on and hopefully get it signed off as quick as possible. And then for it to be rolled out in Ireland and administered in Ireland. But even that can take time. You know, we had our meeting maybe 2 weeks ago now. 2 weeks today, actually, in Leinster House. We had like a demonstration in the AV room and we told our stories and stuff like that. But 2 weeks is a long time for boys with Duchenne. And how long else is it going to take now to get this Chauvinista? You know, we haven't really heard much back, which is just like, it's just, we just haven't got the time, do we? So we hope for the pharmaceutical company to put the application in soon. They said July, but my local senator is pushing for them to put the application in sooner.
Una, this might be a bit of a personal question, so you don't have to answer if you don't want to. Just tell us to fuck off, Shane, if you don't want to. But how have you and your husband coped? Or how I is coping? Which is our mental health day to day? Because we can't understand what you are going through.
Yeah.
It's obviously horrific news, like. Yeah. And you're fighting every single day.
Yeah, I think at the start, all the tools are just dropped. You know, it's like, what are we going to do here? And for 2 weeks... like Kenneth's never been out of work, he's never been out of football, and like football is his life and work is his life, and men don't really talk. Where the women kind of talk, and you know, our sisters would be coming up and we'd be talking, and I'd said to Kenny, you know, you need to kind of speak to somebody, but he's old school like that. He's like, oh, I'll be grand, like. But I think, you know, seeing Archie happy and for us to kind of be okay, like the first few days we just wanted Archie home, we just wanted eyes on him, we just wanted to sit and look at him and to think that this is not real. But obviously we had to move on. He went to school and, you know, we were coming home and we were on the phone to every pharmaceutical company you could think of to try and get medicine to see if he's eligible, but he wasn't because of steroids. And like that, we were just in a bad hole, I suppose, and we kind of just said, like, we need to be, if we don't get ourselves better, the kids are going to kind of realise and stuff like that. So he went back to work and he kind of, you know, was talking to friends and stuff like that, and he's a little bit better. And we're trying to just have conversations each day about it. But I think Kenneth is okay because Archie's okay now. Like, if I don't get this medicine, I don't know how he's going to be.
How many other kids do you have?
Maisie, she's 3. I just have the 2. Yeah. But, yeah, no, we have Maisie and Archie and they're great company for each other. But, you know, it's been a couple of 6 months. But we're just doing our best. And I think with the fundraising as well, it's getting us up and it's getting us out of the house. You know, we have to keep going. We have to try. And, you know, our community are being so nice and so kind to us. We don't want to not show up for them either. You know, we want to go and say thanks. And that's, I think they kind of took us out of the rut that we were in, and they kind of really helped us. And, you know, you have to go and look after yourself and get out of the house and just go for a cup of coffee and have a chat. And just little things like that really helped us.
Mm.
Yeah.
What sort of fundraising events are you having?
So we have a golf event now on the 17th and 18th of July in Tullferris Hotel, which is like a big event. And then we have the PEL football in August. So there's a lot of like influencers and stuff like that playing. Myself and Kenna is going to play as well. So they'll be like 2 big events. But we've had, like, since we found out, we've had an event nearly every single weekend. And that's just from people like trying to help.
Yeah,
you know, like, people are amazing. They're so good. And I think that's that really helped us at the start. Like when we told our story, everyone was like, there's people knocking at the door and all. Do you know, like, which is...
It's amazing. That,
amazing, yeah.
Right, it's great to see the community coming together, all just a rally. Like,
yeah, or even know. Like, I was just doing the shopping up in Dawn's and like another lady came over to me and she's like, oh my God, and just giving me a big hug and, you know, like just chatting and yeah, everybody's been so good. I think they've really helped us like come out of, get out of the house. And sometimes like when I posted that story, I was like, I'm not leaving the house for 2 days, but they're like, no, come on. They pushed us out of our shell like and... Yeah, you just have to keep going.
You just said there, Leona, that like every week you have fundraising events on every weekend. Like, what's it like to not even like have time for yourself really anymore? Everything is fundraising.
Yeah.
Is it tough?
It's tough. It's actually hard to remember everything. Like, I had to get like a book to write down all the appointments and stuff because we have appointments with Archie and then we also have the fundraising event. And at the start, it was very overwhelming. So our family kind of said, look, use... go away for the weekend with the kids or, and then we'll go to that event, you know. So we would go to most events, but we also had to pull back a bit as well.
Yeah.
Because it's too much. And my number one thing is to be a mammy with Archie. And
yeah, exactly.
That's what I want to do. Although everybody's so good and I want to be there and I can't say like enough thanks because everybody's so good and we're so grateful. But I also need a mammy. I also need to be a mammy. Yeah. Yeah. It's too much.
Yeah.
But we are so grateful. For everybody, you know. So like that, like me and Kenna would kind of take turns of things. Like he was at a football event there the weekend and then I said I'd come to this and then he would like go to boxing events or just like certain things because we don't want the kids to be minded by somebody else or taking out their own home either. So we kind of split that, yeah.
You were talking about the way the medicine is advancing and you said the... Can you say the medicine again?
Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Oh, Juvenista.
Juvenista came out in Newcastle.
So Juvenista is actually manufactured in Italy. And there's a pharmaceutical company that kind of makes this medicine. So they were making this medicine and for years they were trialing the medicine because you obviously have to trial the medicine before you put it out there. And Newcastle is a centre of excellence in the UK. And they were trialing this medicine over there on young boys. And the data that it has shown now is absolutely amazing. You know, that boy is 21 and he's still walking and he's driving. You know, every parent wants that for their child. And that will hopefully come to Ireland, I hope, within the year. But it depends on how fast they work on it. We are putting the pressure on and like trying to make them see that, you know, time is muscle for Archie and every day that he doesn't have it, I can't reverse it. Like, if I get that medicine in 6 months' time and Archie is off his feet and in a wheelchair, like, I can't get him to walk again. You know, I can't reverse this. Although it would be good for his heart and his lungs and stuff like that, but, you know, I need the medicine now.
You said there's more trials happening in Newcastle, though.
Yeah, so as the medicine is evolving, there's always new medicines. There's always new trials. So there's a gene therapy trial that has been trialed in America and it will be coming to the UK. So I, in a perfect world, would love for Archie to get a trial on gene therapy over there. But it's not 100%. You know, I'm hoping for the best. We actually go there Saturday. Our appointment's first thing Monday morning. And, you know, I'm going to ask about it and see if I can get him onto it. But with each trial... the child would have to be walking ambulatory. So there's ambulatory and non-ambulatory. If the boy is non-ambulatory, he's in a wheelchair, so he's out, he can't get the gene therapy. So if the boy is over the age of 6, walking, and can get up off the floor within, let's say, 11 seconds, he would get the trial. But if the child is, if the boy is 6 and he's in a wheelchair, he's out. So there's only so many children that would actually qualify for this medicine. And the stage that Archie's at now, he's you know, he's at a good stage. So this is like when they're young, you need to kind of get the trials. Like that young boy 5 years ago that got Juvenista, he was at the like criteria for that medicine and he got it. So I'm hoping and praying that when we go to Newcastle that they would just say, here's a gene therapy. But I just don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
It's horrible to think though, isn't it? Like, I know you said you're putting a price on it, but like, who do they think is paying this? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, they know. They know the families. And I had said this to the doctor and she said, well, they know that the parents will do anything to get it. You know, they're that desperate to get it. And that's what we are. We're desperate for this medicine. We're desperate for the help to get this medicine because that's what we have to do. We have to get it. And, you know, the doctor said, like, you know, they know that these parents are going to do anything to get it. But they don't care. Because pharmaceutical company, it's an industry, it's a business, and they don't think about the families or the little boys that are going through hell every day and the hoops that we have to jump through to try and get this medicine.
And even the red tape that is a jumping through, like, forget the price for a second, right?
Yeah.
Because we got it. Research is expensive. Technology, it's expensive. I got it.
Yeah.
90 minutes up the road, you can get this medicine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
90 minutes up the road. It's 100 miles away.
Yeah.
It may as well be a million miles away.
Though. Yeah. Yeah. This is it. Because it's so strict. And the culture in Ireland is like, oh my God, it's just like, you know, anything that you come to, like, the doctors and say, oh, they have this and they have that. And it's just like, no, no, no. And even with the Juvenistat, it's like, oh, that's going to take years. I'm like, well, I don't have years.
Isn't other countries in the EU that have it as well? I think
Belgium have it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not even a case of like, or the UK or outside the EU, so they have their own laws.
Yeah.
There's other countries in the EU that have these laws. And well, these medicines.
Belgium, I think, have it, yeah. Yeah. It's just a matter of how fast that they can get it. You know, Scotland have, when they first got it, it took them 5 months. Where they're saying the period of time that this can take could be probably 90 days, probably longer.
And why can't they speed that up? Why can't they speed the timing of it up?
Because the HSE will haggle with the pharmaceutical companies to get a good price on the medicine. And this is why I'm going to Leinster House, and this is why I'm saying we can't afford for that time to haggle with the price for this medicine. You know, we don't have that time. We've already waited 20 years for this to come to Ireland. You know, like the minute that comes here, we should just say yeah and give it to the boys. But obviously it doesn't work like that in this country.
Yeah. And the thing as well is, it's not as if it's just Archie. He's the only boy on this island who needs it.
And there's a lot of boys that are further on than Archie that really, really need this. Like Archie's young and he's at a good stage where there's boys that are coming off their feet permanently. Do you know, if they got this medicine within a couple of months, that could save them and keep him on his feet for another 3 years.
Mm.
How happy would that make that little boy?
Mm.
Do you know, there's boys up in the north of Ireland and they're 14 and they understand exactly what's going on with the politics with all this medicine. Psychologically, and their little mind, like, is horrible. You know, I was speaking to their mammy and their little boy knows everything what's going on and saying, "Mommy, why don't they just give us the medicine?" How do you explain that to your little boy? You know, it's just absolutely crazy. Like, and I never want Archie to have to deal with that. That's why we're going 100 miles an hour to try and get this as fast as we can, because we don't want to have those conversations with him.
What can people do that are listening to this right now do to help?
I suppose to maybe just to maybe look at Archie's story and to keep trying to donate for the gene therapy and just get behind us. And, you know, if and when we need to kind of go to the government again to just help us to get this medicine as soon as we can. But just to keep donating, and maybe we'll get there sooner rather than later.
And where's the link to donate?
It's on my Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, it's in the link in my bio.
Yeah,
that's
perfect. Yeah, with the pressure you're putting on the government though as well, you know, I was saying this to you off air, it's stuff like this though that it kind of sets the tone going forward, that if there's other diseases or conditions out there that can be treated and there's a solution for it, that'd be like, look, you did it once, we can do this again.
Yeah.
And we should be doing that.
And I will not stop until that medicine is in Ireland. That medicine is coming here. If it's in the UK, there's no need for it not to be here. Like, we can't look at these little children and watch them suffer. Like, they have the power to help them. Why not just give your hand and help them up and just help them? Because that's as simple as it is. Like, this Juvenistat is just like giving Calpol. You give 5 mils in the morning, 5 mils in the afternoon. That's all it is. That's all it takes. This country is loaded with money. You know, like, just help the children. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah, like, there's no one should be taking on that burden, the financial burden of this.
No, definitely not. And that's the thing with Duchenne. You know, we got this horrible diagnosis, but we also got the financial burden of trying to raise millions of euro that no parent should ever have to do. You know, and we're doing really well. There's other parents that are fundraising and they're not. You know, I think they're 30,000 in. Can you imagine that mountain that they have to climb? We still have a mountain to climb, but that's like, it's just a never-ending battle, really.
Has anyone kind of reached out and guided us through this?
So Paul Merriman has come on, and Chris and David Hall, they are trying to set up a trust for us. So with the gene therapy, we are trying to set up a trust so that, you know, we don't have to do as many events, that we can kind of ask the businesses to donate their taxes. I think it's taxes. And then they they don't eat and then they can claim back off their taxes kind of thing. So then Paul was kind of saying that, you know, the money would go up a lot faster and a lot easier. And I think it'll just probably take the load off us not to be going to events every weekend. Yeah. And so they've been amazing. They've really helped us, like, and guided us. And our family and our friends have been just amazing. Mm. They really have. And social media, like, the kind comments that we get is brilliant. And you know, everybody's just been so supportive and we're so lucky and we're so grateful. Like, I sometimes think, you know, when I'm having a bad day, I do look at Archie and, like, he's still going to school, where there's other kids that are in hospital and they're, you know, they're connected to tubes every day. And although it's really crap what we're going through, but you have to just think there's always somebody worse off than us.
Mm.
And that's always the case. So we just have to take each day as it comes.
Yes, we'll get there, don't
I know. Praise God.
Look how rapid it is. It literally feels like yesterday. Put that video up.
Yeah.
Mm. And then with the treatment, and we're talking about how rapid the medicine has gone.
Yeah.
You said it can't be reversed, but there's no doubt if it's slowed down,
the
industry will catch up and something else will come out.
This is it. This is what I hope for. Like, and that's what gives me hope. Like, if he gets Chavinistat, and then if he gets gene therapy, and then who knows what can come out in the future and what that doctor told me. You know, a lot of parents will come to me and say, oh, Jesus, years ago they told me that my daughter would never live till they're. Till she's 15 and she's 40 now. You know, stories like that just help me so much. Mm. And I hope that that'll be the case for Archie.
Yeah, like, look at, I know it's a bit drastic, but look at bleeding AIDS.
This is it,
There's years treatment ago. Now where that can't be transferred. Yeah. You take this treatment, you can't transfer it to anyone. Like, that's it's mental to think.
Yeah.
Where, imagine you said that to someone 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, you take this and you won't transfer that.
Yeah.
So imagine where we'll be now. And you've seen how many people do you know that had treatments and now that they're flying because... You were told they'd never do this, never do that. Yeah. And then they tried this and now here they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we just need everybody to get behind
you and your
family.
Yeah.
Now, and anybody listening to this, if you can donate, please do donate. And get behind Una, which is going to Leinster House and whatever you're fighting for.
Share it everywhere, put pressure on your local politician.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You're involved.
Thanks so much.
Who knows who the story will reach it, you know what I mean?
Someone just take one person. Yeah.
And they can come in and save the day, you know.
Yeah.
Just probably hasn't fell on their lap yet.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Right. Have you done here?
Ewan, have you had the plug while you're here?
No, I'm all good.
No.
Are you sure? No other events or any?
No, just the golf and the football for now. And anything that is coming up, I post on social media to share Archie's story and to share all the events. And if anybody would like to come to the events, they're more than welcome.
Yeah. Una_Ennis, I think, on Instagram. And then you'll see Archie's Army everywhere.
Archie's Army.
So if you see it, an event that has Archie's Army, this is who we're talking about.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it then.
That's it.
Thanks to Roy Style Furniture for coming on board. And remember, if you just moved in or the place is looking a bit pre-loved, don't sleep on this.
Unless it's on one of the class Ottoman beds, two of which come in the house package, by the way, with mattresses and all.
Roy Style Furniture is the place to go. Irish guaranteed. Family run, and they actually care about what goes in your home.
You'll find them at Fonthill, Belgard and Omni Park. Open 7 days a week and late on Thursdays and Fridays in Fonthill and Omni.
They're a one-stop shop for the lot, and we've got you sorted with a promo code.
Yeah, we do. Visit www.roystyle.ie and use promo code GET10 for 10% off. Right price, right style, right now.
All right, take us out, Siobhan.
Boom.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app. What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and low. When you finish that. The Hip Knocker.